Genesis chapter 29. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And, lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And there were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. So Jacob arrives at his destination and goes to the community well. And there the area shepherds would meet and gather together and remove the big heavy stone that covered the well. They would water their sheep and afterwards help each other put the stone back. And so we see that cooperation is a biblical principle, and it worked very well for these shepherds. Verse 4, And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, from where are you? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. You know, when you talk about God's leading, I guess this is what you're talking about. Jacob travels 500 miles without a compass, road map, or satellite tracking device, and arrives at the precise location he needs to be. You know, the details of our life work by God's power to keep us where God wants us to be. Sometimes we don't like it, but this scripture should prove that, and we should take comfort in that. 6. And he said unto them, He is well. And they said, He is well. Let's start over again. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, comes with the sheep. And here's more of God's providence. Moments after Jacob arrives, Laban's daughter, Rachel, Jacob's future wife, shows up. You know, there's no such thing as luck or happenstance, especially when it comes to God's people. There's only God's providence and His sovereignty. 7. And he said, Lo, it is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. I've always thought he's being kind of bossy here. He's trying to tell these men how to do their business, and he was a good shepherd, I suppose. But I think he was trying to get rid of them before Rachel arrives, honestly. Verse 8. And they said, We cannot, until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. They say, We can't just water our flocks and leave. We have to wait for all the shepherds to get here and then do it together. 9. And while he, that is Jacob, yet spoke with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. When Jacob saw Rachel, he moved that big heavy stone all by himself. And I just have a feeling that if 5 minutes earlier the shepherds would have asked Jacob to move that stone for them, he would have said, Are you kidding? Not by myself, I can't. But isn't it amazing what we can do when we really want to. When a Christian says, "Oh, I can't overcome this sin," or "I can't be holy in this area," what they're really saying is, "I'm not motivated enough." Verse 11. And Jacob kissed Rachel, and lifted up his voice, and wept. Rachel must be thinking, "Who is this nut that's kissing me and weeping?" It's a good thing that verse 12 is there. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. Jacob tells Rachel that he is her cousin. So she runs to tell her father. Verse 13. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he, Jacob, told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, "Because you are my brother, you should therefore serve me for not, or should you therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Jacob tells Laban about everything. And how his parents sent him to look for a wife, how God talked to him along the way and assured him of success. Must have told Laban how God led him to the well where he met Rachel. And, Laban wants to keep him around, obviously, but he doesn't want him to work for nothing. At least that's what he says. He says, "You're my relative. Should you therefore serve me for naught?" And the answer is no, he shouldn't work for nothing. No one should work for nothing, because the Bible says the worker is worthy of their pay. 16. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Rachel had beauty. All that it says about Leah is that her eyes were tender or weak, which actually may just mean that her eyes were blue, not brown, like most people from that area. In that culture, blue eyes were thought to be a sign of physical weakness. Verse 18. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And he must have loved her if he was willing to work 7 years for nothing. Verse 19. Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me." And notice carefully Laban's words here. He didn't say, "Okay, Jacob, it's a deal. 7 years for Rachel." He did not say that. He clearly led Jacob to believe it was the deal, but he never gave Jacob a straight answer. If someone can't give you a straight answer, don't trust them. Jacob's going to learn that the hard way. Verse 20, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. 7 years of work didn't seem that bad, because it was for Rachel. It was a labor of love. 21, and Jacob said unto Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her." Jacob, Laban, and everyone else knew who Jacob was talking about when he said, "Give me my wife." Everybody knew what he was talking about. For 7 years, the only woman Jacob showed any interest in was Rachel. And I'm sure that's all he talked about for all those years, to Laban, to others. So, 22, and Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. Now the Bible says, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And here Jacob was deceived because he could not see in the dark. And guess what? That's exactly what Jacob had done to his father Isaac. Jacob deceived his father because his father was blind. He could not see. And when we treat others badly, we bring that same treatment upon ourselves eventually. 24. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpha his maid for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And I like how God says it, behold, it was Leah. You may know how it feels to buy something, have it delivered, and then discover that it's the wrong thing, or it wasn't what you expected. Well, this is like that, you know, only a lot worse. I don't know how long it took for Jacob to get to Laban's place, but I think if they would have clocked it, it might have set a new world's record for speed, because he must have been out that door, down the block, or whatever it was that took him to his father-in-law's house, and he probably broke through the door. He had to be steaming. 25 again. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done unto me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Wherefore then have you beguiled me? And I look at verse 26. And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Didn't I tell you about that rule, Jacob? I guess it must have slipped my mind for the last 7 years. Old Laban was a slick one. And now Jacob knows how his father and his brother Esau felt after he tricked them. Sometimes people don't repent of their bad treatment of others until after they get a taste of bad treatment themselves. 27. Laban says, fulfill her week, and we will give you this also for the service. I'm talking about giving him Rachel, which you shall serve with me yet 7 other years. In other words, observe the 7-day marriage week with Leah. Then I will let you marry Rachel if you promise to work for me for another 7 years. 28. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. And he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel. And he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Jacob always loved Rachel. As far as we know, he's the only, or she's the only woman he ever loved. certainly loved Rachel more than Leah. And Leah did not help matters by deceiving him on their wedding night. You know, she could have said, "Jacob, I'm not Rachel." Maybe he would not have loved her, but at least he would have respected her. 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, the word hated here means loved less. When God saw that, it says he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. God is kind. God is sensitive to our feelings. He does not want us to be crushed under the burden of our disappointments, which is why he brings good into our lives to balance out the bad. God saw that Leah was unloved, so he did something special for her. He gave her a son. So that was nice of God to do that. And sometimes he balances out the bad in our lives by just drawing us closer to him so that we can experience his presence and his fellowship. Again, verse 32. And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, "Surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." It's kind of sad, really. She feels that she can somehow earn Jacob's love. 33. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard I was hated, he has therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons." Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son. And she said, "Now will I praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. Leah committed the sin of deception. But look at the grace of God. Her fourth son is Judah. Judah is the son of Jacob that will continue the messianic line. Jesus will come through the line of Judah. That doesn't make what Leah did okay, but it sure does show that there is life after sin. God forgives those who confess, which means that a person can have a good life and do good things for God, even after they have sinned.